Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And good day, happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and it is the day after Independence Day, July 5th, 2024. And many people up late last night, whether they chose to be or not, due to the fireworks celebrations or explosions going on till well past midnight, well past 2 a.m., in some cases. It was a kind of a mild roar, but nonetheless, the July 4th celebration happening, and today kind of feels like the day after Thanksgiving, with a major holiday on a Thursday, and then Friday, when, you know, many people choose to take the day off and do that four-day weekend, heading into the weekend, why not take that extra day off? Some places, of course, are back working today, as we are here at HealthyLife.net Radio. Do have some cool stuff to get to today on Fantasy Sports Friday. And we're going to start off with Major League Baseball news. The All-Star Game coming up in about 2 weeks, July 16th. And starters have been named. We're also going to take a look at the standings and some stats. A lot of NBA news, mainly free agency. About a week ago, last Sunday, around 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern, one of those. The official free agency window for the NBA opened, and there had been a few rumblings before that, and then all the signings became official, and the announcements became official from there. Going to take a look at a couple moves happening. Of course, that's still going on, but once the big dominoes fell, it'll take a little while for some of the others, of course, to fall into place as well. And the NBA draft happened as well. Major League Baseball draft coming up soon. Not going to get into that quite yet. And we're about a month away from training camps officially opening. I think they'll be opening sometime late July. And then preseason football starting in August. And that'll mean fantasy sports drafting starting in August. So we're going to drill down on some of the players and who might be sleepers who have either A, been rookies coming into the league. There's a lot of very good new talent, a couple good wide receivers, a lot of good new quarterbacks. Six quarterbacks were selected in the first 12 selections of the draft just a couple months ago. Some of these players will have both current and long-standing implications in your fantasy leagues, depending on what kind of league you play in. And also, for fun, second half of the show, we're going to take a look at the predicted win total for each team in the NFL, or what is the over-under number. And, of course, if you visit a casino, either online or in person, these are the pretty much the over-under numbers you can set future wagers for how you think particular teams might do this year. Now, obviously, if you were to go ahead and make a bet on one of these teams either today or in the next couple weeks before the season started, you have to wait till the end of the season till these totals do come through. And, of course, that's something to keep an eye on throughout the whole season. If you have a good feeling of a team turning it around either in a positive way or turning it around in a very bad way, you might be able to make a little bit of extra cash on future props. But it's always kind of fun to just take a look at the totals for the upcoming season in the over-under and predicted wins for each team. Now, as I mentioned, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is about a week and a half away. It'll be Tuesday, July 16th, and that's going to be a interesting week for sports fans. That's usually about the time the All-Star break around Monday night. I'm like, man, I'm really jonesing for a baseball game. Who's playing? And then I realize, uh-oh, it's the All-Star break and there is not going to be a game. However, the All-Star festivities, I don't know, the Home Run Derby is a pretty fun, exciting thing to watch, even if you're a casual fan of the sport. Just watching some of the best hitters in the game come up and take some cuts at batting practice. Batting practice. You having a pitcher of their own choosing, just kind of groove some pitches right down the middle so some of the game's best players can go ahead and take action and hit as many home runs as they can before they, you know, accumulate a couple outs, which are basically balls that don't go over the fence. And sometimes it's kind of fun. That's where baseball kind of reaches in and selects a lot of youngsters to kind of go out and shag fly balls. Some of these young kids are sons of players or coaches, and it's interesting. They may someday be in the Home Run Derby themselves, but I'm kind of looking forward to a possibility of Shohei Ohtani of the Dodgers and Aaron Judge of the Yankees both participating in this. They are two of the more exciting sluggers in the game. When they come up, I kind of like to sit down and watch their at-bats. They're very fun. They usually put the ball in play, and both are hitting at an incredible rate, and it would be a fun home run derby if those two were to go head-to-head. So the starters have been named. Of course, the managers of each team, the folks who were in the World Series last year, it'll be Bruce Bochy for the American League and the Diamondbacks manager for the National League. They get to select the pitchers and mostly the remaining substitutes and bench players. A Major League All-Star game, usually players don't play more than 3 innings. That way they kind of get a chance to get everybody in the game. All-Star starters are generally voted on by the public, and the American League starters at first base, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., talking about one of those sons of Major League players. Vladimir Guerrero Sr., of course, played many years with the Expos and then the LA Angels. So Vlad Guerrero Jr., first baseman for the Blue Jays, is the starting first baseman for the American League. One of the players on one of my fantasy teams, Jose Altuve of the Houston Astros, voted in as the second base starter, which says a lot because Altuve is a pretty good player, but he's also been painted as a villain since that trash can banging incident with the Astros a couple seasons ago. I think it was 2017, the World Series. They defeated the Dodgers in 7 games, and in Game 7 in Los Angeles, you can clearly hear on the highlights of a trash can banging in the background when the Astros put up a lot of numbers on starter, I think it was Clayton Kershaw, later on found to them kind of bending the rules a little bit and were not really sanctioned enough by most Major League Baseball fans. So Jose Altuve has kind of remained a bit of a villain, although he puts up great numbers and outside of Houston probably doesn't have too many fans, although he's still good enough to get voted as a starter, and I'm kind of happy to see him on there since he's one of my players on one of my teams. Youngster Gunnar Henderson of the Baltimore Orioles is the starting shortstop in the American League. The Orioles with a great farm system, you know, a lot of draft picks over the last couple of years, and have built the team up in the right way by, you know, formulating more depth in the farm system in addition to, you know, a handful of players doing well already. Orioles currently leading the American League East and one of the teams on a hot streak in baseball. Another team that's on a very hot streak and is leading the American League Central, Cleveland Guardians. Yep, they are formerly the Cleveland Indians. They've been Guardians for a couple seasons now. Their third baseman, Jose Ramirez, he's your American League starter representing Cleveland. The American League outfield is pretty much a New York Yankees outfield. In right field, Juan Soto, who is expected to possibly re-sign with the Yankees in the offseason. We'll see. His agent, of course, Scott Boras, who is famous for extracting as much money and holding out players as long as he can to get the biggest contract. So that expected to be a big one. Soto's already turned down some big numbers, holding out for bigger numbers. Aaron Judge in center field. He's your major league leader in home runs and RBIs right now and having a solid season. Last year, bit injured in a game against the Dodgers. He ran into the fence and had an injury to his foot, specifically his big toe. Sergeant Hulka reference there, if anybody remembers the movie Stripes. But Aaron Judge having a great season. Yankees were red hot and have had some injuries the last couple weeks, specifically Giancarlo Stanton. And they're kind of coming back to earth. We'll see how they do in the second half. And Stephen Kwan, outfielder for the Guardians, will be starting in left field. Another Oriole from that farm system I was talking about, catcher Adley Rutschman, will be the starting catcher for the American League, representing the Orioles, and the designated hitter, Jordan Alvarez of the Houston Astros. On to the National League starters, currently on the injured list. Don't know if he's going to be okay in time for the All-Star game. We assume he will be. And playing at first base, representing the Phillies, will be Bryce Harper. This guy's been a pretty solid pro for a number of years and has had a pretty good career since signing with the Phillies a couple seasons ago. At the time, he was the biggest free agent catch in that particular season. At second base, representing the Diamondbacks, Ketel Marte. Arizona, you know, the hot season last year in the playoffs, getting to the World Series. And Marte will be representing the Diamondbacks at second base. The left side of the infield, well, pretty much the whole infield, with the exception of Marte from the Diamondbacks at second base, is all from Philadelphia. Trey Turner, maybe the best shortstop in the game all around, still gets a lot of stolen bases, hits for a great average, is the shortstop for the National League, representing the Phillies. And Alec Baum, third baseman of the Phillies, is the starter for the National League. On to the outfield, it's a pretty good feel-good story for Jerickson Profar, a guy who's bounced around a little bit. He's been with the Oakland A's, San Diego Padres, Colorado Rockies, back to the Padres this season, and he's having a solid year. He will be one of the starters representing the Padres for the National League. Fernando Tatis Jr., also with the Padres, has been voted in, although I believe he is still way injured, and this is kind of a example, I think, of Padre fans just getting out and stuff in the ballot box. However, if he was healthy, he would more than likely be out there playing. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen there. There might be an alternate named in his place. And then Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers has been voted in as another National League starter. A couple seasons ago, he sort of had a setback, tested positive for PEDs, had a bit of a suspension. But since then, he's still performed pretty well. A lot of times players end up with a positive test on the performance-enhancing drugs, and their numbers do go down. Christian Yelich still is playing pretty well. And Milwaukee, his team, coming to L.A. this weekend to face the Dodgers, and they're currently doing very well in the Central Division. Also for Milwaukee, a name that goes under the radar and a guy who's on one of my fantasy teams, William Contreras, who is one of the top 10 offensive producers in Major League Baseball. He'll be the starting catcher representing Milwaukee, and designated hitter Shohei Ohtani. It seems everything with his off-the-field interpreter and that gambling scandal has been cleared as far as Ohtani. His translator either was completely guilty or it's been a cover-up. Either way, maybe the truth is somewhere in between. Of course, Major League Baseball doesn't want to lose its meal ticket and one of its most exciting players, especially coming to a new team. Even though he's played in the Los Angeles market with the Angels, much different going to the Dodgers. They are a much bigger, more popular team than the Angels, and he's having a great season with the LA Dodgers. So those are your starters. Of course, the managers will name the starting pitchers. That'll come in a matter of days. And then also the players who will be, you know, making up the rest of the roster and the bench, as the managers pretty much will name those guys as well. I'm going to take a look at some of your statistical leaders here in just a moment, as we're coming up on the the halfway point to the season. It's kind of fun to look at this. As far as batting average, All-Star Kwan for Cleveland is leading the majors with a 367 average. And if you get down, there's only 13 players in Major League Baseball currently with an average over 300. There's a handful of guys right on the cusp. But, you know, no more than 20 players hitting above 290, 291 currently in Major League Baseball. Averages used to be higher back in the day. I think the emphasis on swinging for the fences and launch angles has kind of created this a little bit. But Kwan is leading the majors at 367. Bobby Witt Jr. hitting 319. All-Star Jurickson Profar, 317. All-Star Shohei Ohtani at 316. Angels infielder Renfroe is at 315. All-Star Aaron Judge hitting 314. San Diego Padres recently acquired Arez at 312, coming over from Miami. Carlos Correa hitting 311 for Minnesota. Jose Altuve at 308. Currently injured Mookie Betts at 304. Otherwise, I think he'd be probably a starter on the National League, although at shortstop, Trey Turner got more votes. Bryce Harper hitting 303, and Alvarez from Houston hitting 302. Juan Soto, the last guy currently hitting 300, making 13 Major League players batting over 300, which is considered a great average. Freddie Freeman at 298, and Contreras, the catcher from Milwaukee, 298, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 296. Now, home runs, that's what people really kind of like to watch as the big stat for the season. Aaron Judge leading the majors at 32 home runs already here at the halfway point. Gunnar Henderson also on the All-Star team at 27. Shohei Ohtani, he was a pitcher and designated hitter, not pitching this year. He had Tommy John surgery, but he's rocking at 27 home runs. Third baseman Jose Ramirez of Cleveland with 23. Anthony Santander, first baseman and outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles, currently at 22. He's a guy that I have on both of my fantasy teams and kind of hoping he gets named as a backup alternate. He does put up good numbers across the board. You've got Walker of Arizona at 22, Ozuna with the Braves at 21, Juan Soto at 21, and Bryce Harper also at 20 home runs. And that's your top few home run hitters. In RBIs, Aaron Judge, he's at the top of the tables, 83 runs batted in here at the halfway point, easily on the way to 100, probably expect about 120 to 125 from him. Cleveland's third baseman Ramirez, after him at 76, also on the National League team, Mr. Baum from Philadelphia at 70 RBIs, Ohtani has 64, Juan Soto 63, Gunnar Henderson at 60, and Teoscar Hernandez, another free agent signing by the Dodgers in the offseason. Not as big a splash as the two Japanese players, Ohtani and Yamamoto, who came directly from Japan this season. But Hernandez has been solid. He's had a couple up and downs, but has been playing very good and getting a lot of key hits for the LA Dodgers. He's at number 10. Bryce Harper, currently injured at 58 RBIs. And Freddie Freeman, 56. Jurickson Profar, 56. And Santander at 56. And catcher teammate with Baltimore, Adley Rutschman, at 55. So that's the look at some of your top hitters currently. In pitching, got a couple players at 11 wins. Atlanta's Sale with 11 wins. And Lugo from Kansas City. Those two are tied at 11 wins. The win total, it's definitely gone down from what it used to be years ago. And saves, they're not the same names at the top of the list, but Helsley of St. Louis leading the league with 31, leading both leagues, and a couple surprises with Clase from the Guardians at 25, and Washington's Finnegan, who's not, you know, Washington's nowhere near the top of the tables, but Finnegan has 23 saves. A lot of your bigger names like Kenley Jansen, he's in the top 10 at 16, Josh Hader at 14, and Mason Miller of Oakland at 14 saves. But save totals not as big as they used to be in years past. I'm Jay Cruz. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. Taking a look at some Major League Baseball stats here at the midway point as the All-Star game is coming up very soon. We're also going to take a look at some current NBA news, a little bit of football, and also going to take a look at the projected win totals for the National Football League, and go over that here in the second half of the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back after this quick break on HealthyLife.net Radio.
When my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm Jay Cruz, your host, and we do this show Fridays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. You can also hear it replay on Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, and of course, on demand after its live performance today. Taking a look at Major League Baseball at the halfway point, some all-star selections, statistics, and let's take a look at standings. There's a couple surprises, but a few that are not surprising. L.A. Dodgers, they've won, 10 in a row National League pennants, championships. They're currently 6.5 games above the San Diego Padres in the National League West. Dodgers hosting the Brewers this weekend here in Los Angeles. Padres are 6.5 back. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who came through and had a good series against the Dodgers, are right about one game under 500, 9.5 games behind the Dodgers. You got the Giants, who are two games under 500, 10 games back, and currently still in the hunt for the wild card hunt. And Colorado, who had a little bit of a hot streak about a month ago, 22.5 games off the pace. Still a dangerous place to play in Colorado, where they've had to do some special treatment to the baseballs to keep that ball from flying out at exponentially high rates for home runs as the ball carries in that thin air. National League East, the Phillies are dominating, and they'll be facing the Atlanta Braves this weekend. They're currently 9 games ahead of Atlanta. 57-30 are the Phillies. Atlanta, 47-38, still with a good record, but 9 games behind Philadelphia. The New York Mets have had some ups and downs. They had a nice little winning streak after they had the grimace from the McDonaldland Hamburglar fame come out and throw out the first pitch. They had an 8-game winning streak after that. And a nice series against the Yankees last weekend. Mets right one game under 500 and 14 games back. The Washington Nationals and Miami Marlins, although competitive at times, are both way behind the pace. Washington 16 games back and Miami 27 games behind the Phillies. National League Central, Milwaukee is leading by 6 games over St. Louis, and they'll be playing the Dodgers this weekend. Should be an interesting series. They've had some interesting playoffs in the past couple seasons. St. Louis, 6 games off the pace of Milwaukee. Cincinnati, been playing good of late. They just swept the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Good for them. In fact, it was the first time the Well, with interleague play, they don't play each and every season, but they have played a few times. But Cincinnati swept the Yankees for the first time since the 1976 World Series, when they beat the Yankees 4-0. You know, looking back at that Cincinnati Reds team that had that championship against the Yankees, it's just interesting. They probably should have had more championships. That Big Red Machine was one of the best teams in baseball. You know, they did lose to the Oakland A's. And looking back, you know, as a kid, I didn't realize what a monumental upset that was. The Big Red Machine was an incredible team, and the A's were sort of a bunch of cast-offs and, you know, guys who weren't really thought of so highly, and they beat the Reds in a 7-game series. But Big Red Machine, of course, later, you know, 76 beat the Yankees, and then the Yankees-Dodgers had a couple of series back in the 70s, as we're talking ancient history. Pittsburgh is not doing so bad. They've got one of the more exciting young pitchers in the game, Paul Skeens. He's pitching today, actually, and I think they have a weekend series against the Mets. Pittsburgh, respectable, 10 games back, but they have a lot of room ahead of them, a lot of teams to climb over if they're going to get into the wild card race. And the Cubs, they always turn in a cool game from time to time, especially at home at Wrigley. They are 12 games off the pace. Moving to the American League, the aforementioned Baltimore Orioles are taking lead in the American League East. The Yankees had been leading up until a couple weeks ago. A couple injuries of them. A couple of their key starters, mainly Giancarlo Stanton, has dropped them a little bit. They still have a 6.07 win percentage, but they're now 2 games behind Baltimore. And right behind them is the Boston Red Sox. Yankees and Boston playing a series this weekend. And that's always exciting. I think one of the more exciting rivalries in Major League Baseball, if not all of sports. And now it's a bit more rivalry, of course, since Boston's won a handful of World Series in this century. It had been nearly 100 years since they had won a series before that. And compared to the Yankees, it didn't seem like a true rivalry, other than, you know, what was really more in Boston Red Sox fans' minds. The Red Sox playing well against the Marlins last couple days, and they'll be facing the Yankees this weekend. They're 7.5 games back and could still make a move. Tampa Bay is 11 games back, still over 500. And Toronto, they're kind of disappointing this season for themselves. They expected to be doing better. They're 16 games back behind Baltimore, and they're a little bit under 500. The American League Central, Cleveland is in control, running away with that. And, you know, they have one of the highest run differentials in baseball at a plus 97. They have a 6-game lead over the Minnesota Twins. The Kansas City Royals have been pretty surprising and pretty steady here near the halfway point. They're 48-41 for a 5.39 win percentage, only 8 games behind the Cleveland Guardians as far as they might make a run at some point. We'll see if they have the staying power to keep going in the second half. It's always a big question. First half and second half are a big difference as teams start to focus more, play better, maybe make some adjustments, call up players, make a trade, all those good things. Detroit has had some nice wins this season. They're still a little bit under 500 at 39-48 and 16 games off the pace. And the White Sox, 31 games back. Better luck next year. Chicago White Sox, a tough time in the Windy City. Both the Cubs and the White Sox well behind the pace, and both teams bringing up the cellar in their respective divisions. The American League West is currently being led by Seattle. They have a 2-game lead over Houston. Houston, however, started off the season really not doing well. They had a very tough schedule. They're playing some of the top winning teams. Obviously, they were losing, which made the teams they're playing against have a more of a winning record, but they were playing some tough competition. They're like 19-9 since the beginning of June, and have currently got back over the 500 mark. They're in second place, 2 games behind the Seattle Mariners in the American League West. I would not be surprised if Houston wins the West again. The defending world champion Texas Rangers are 8 games behind Seattle, but about 8 games under 500, so they have more issues than success right now. And the other two California teams in the American League West bringing up the cellar. They just had a series against each other. The Los Angeles Angels, 10.5 games back, and the Oakland A's with kind of a lame duck season until they maybe move it to Sacramento before they move it to Las Vegas, 15 games behind the Mariners currently leading. It's about time for a break. I'm Jay Cruz. We're going to come back, take a look at what's currently been going on in the NBA with some free agency, and we're still going to take a look at the win total projections for the National Football League upcoming season. Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net.
Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down!
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back. Thanks for staying tuned, or thanks for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, this is Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, going to take a look at current happenings in the NBA as the season's over. The Celtics won, and now the Celtics are up for sales. If you got a couple billion dollars laying around, you might throw your hat in the ring and try to buy the Celtics. Rumor is Jeff Bezos, who's got tons of money, is interested in purchasing the Celtics. I'm sure if that were to happen, you could probably bet their TV rights would be going on Amazon, and he'll make a lot of money off the things he already has in place. And Amazon getting more involved with pro sports as well. So the Celtics are up for sale. They extended contracts of their two big players, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So they're both locked up and very rich for their foreseeable future. The other big name in free agency, of course, it seems every time you look at the NBA, you can't look too far without the name LeBron James slipping in. He opted out of his player option and then has re-signed with the L.A. Lakers for, it looks like, the next couple years. Can't remember if it's a 3 or 4 year deal. Well, at least 2 years, and then player options and all those good things. So he is staying with the Lakers, and don't know if he was the one that forced the draft pick, or his presence certainly was highly influential, but his son, Bronny James, has been picked at pick number 55 late in the second round by the Lakers, so we'll have the first father and son duo on the same team. Now, of course, Bronny James has to make the Lakers. There's a lot of experts, talent scouts that, you know, think he's a marginal player. Maybe it would have been better had he stayed in college and gotten a little bit more experience, but nonetheless, he is a member of the Lakers and could be in their developmental G League team. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. Very few father and son combinations. In fact, only once before has it actually happened where father and son were on the same team. And that was in Major League Baseball You know, the aforementioned Big Red Machine I talked about in the last section, they had a great outfielder named Ken Griffey, and he became Ken Griffey Sr. when he had a son, Ken Griffey Jr. Now, when Jr. came up, he was one of the can't-miss prospects. He brought a fresh air to the game of baseball. He was always seen wearing the backward baseball cap and just had a lot of enthusiasm and a great player in his career, mainly with Seattle. And then later he played a little bit with Cincinnati, where he and his father, Ken Griffey, were able to play together. Another good father and son duo that didn't get to play together. I think the age gap was too far. There was Bobby Bonds, who was kind of a journeyman outfielder, played for a number of teams. I think he played a long time for the San Francisco Giants. He did play with the Yankees, the Angels, and a few other teams. His son, Barry Bonds, I'm sure you've heard of him, he had a couple home runs along the way, 750-something to be exact. They didn't play together, but obviously another father-son duo. A couple other signings in the NBA. Paul George, been with the LA Clippers, and those two teams, those two just sort of fell apart. The Clippers, as an organization, only seemed to want to go so far. Paul George, as a player, wanted to go a little further, and basically they couldn't agree on length of contract. Paul George signed with the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, the 76ers also involved with the Golden State Warriors in a sign-and-trade that also included the Dallas Mavericks and some draft picks. The NBA is interesting how, you know, players can get more of a max contract with a sign-and-trade. Basically, it's little strange. You sign with the team that you're currently with and agree to terms to be traded to another team. Klay Thompson, part of that great Warriors dynasty, and also someone whose father has a big-time connection to the L.A. Lakers. Big speculation Klay Thompson would sign with the Lakers. Based on that, he has signed with the Dallas Mavericks, a good 3-year deal for him. Mavericks could use another outside shooter, as that was kind of missing in the finals against the Celtics. So he's kind of close to a team that might get back. Bradley Beal was involved in that sign-and-trade. He's going from Philadelphia to Golden State now, and draft picks are going back and forth between Philadelphia, Dallas, and Golden State. Interesting tidbit involving the L.A. South Bay, Hermosa Beach. There's a place called the Bottle Inn that I frequently walk past on the way to the beach, and apparently last Sunday, that's where Klay Thompson and the members of the Dallas Mavericks management were kind of meeting and hashing out the probability of Klay Thompson becoming a Maverick. So it was one day I chose not to go to the beach, and it would have been interesting walking by going, hey, there's Klay Thompson. I wonder what he's doing here. I would have assumed he was coming to the Lakers had I seen him there. So that's kind of the latest with some of the free agent moves in the NBA. You know, and some of these moves kind of remind me, you know, with like with Bronny James coming in and playing with his father. It reminds me of Al Davis, who's the late owner of the then Oakland Raiders, now Las Vegas, and at one time Los Angeles Raiders. But Al Davis had a couple interesting things when he drafted or signed free agent players. There was about four or five things that no matter what, if player checked a couple of these boxes, he was interested in them. Number one, Al Davis liked to sign players who were sons of NFL alumni. Number two, he loved Heisman Trophy winners. He was a fan of anyone who came from University of Southern California, as he was once an assistant coach there. And he loved players with blazing higher-than-average speed and anyone who might have been a Super Bowl MVP the season before. But he was very high on signing sons of players who were NFL alumni. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about the projected win totals for the National Football League, and hopefully we'll have time to get through them all right after this. Fantasy Sports Friday, HealthyLife.net.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back for what's going to be the final the final section of today's show. We're going to look at over-under totals projected for the upcoming NFL season as we're a couple weeks away from training camps opening, and then August will be a lot of fast and furious drafting, picking, and fantasy football sign-up. So currently these totals are out there, and if you were to go to your favorite online casino or your favorite place in Vegas, Atlantic City, you can put a little wager on the projected total for the season. Sometimes these turn out to be good. You just have to wait about, wait till January, till the season's over to find out and get paid if you win. That's something kind of interesting to, speculate for the upcoming season. Starting alphabetical order, the Arizona Cardinals projected to win 6.5 games. I'm going to say that's about right, maybe a little under the total for 6.5. The Atlanta Falcons, they have new quarterback, Kirk Cousins. They're projected to win 9.5 games. I think they'll do about that, maybe slightly more. They probably should win the division this year. Tampa Bay will give them a challenge. You still got the Carolina Panthers, who aren't that good, and the Saints, who are right around 500. But the Falcons have a little bit more going for them right now. The Baltimore Ravens are projected to win 10.5 games. I think they'll do that or maybe a little better. They picked up Derrick Henry, free agent signing, in the offseason. That's going to help Lamar Jackson not have to run as much, who's their leading rusher at quarterback. The Buffalo Bills also projected at 10.5 wins. I think they get that maybe just about that, probably 11 games. The Patriots and probably the Jets will not be as good this year. Miami's kind of a question mark, but Buffalo's been pretty solid for a couple years. That's about the right number. I think they can go over that. Carolina Panthers are projected to win 5.5 games. That would be like double their total from last year. It's probably about right. I think they're going to come in under on that. Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams out of USC, Heisman winner from 2 seasons ago, are projected to win 8.5 games. Not too hard for them to get that, but their division is a lot tougher. Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit have all improved. That could be a very, very tough division, and a rookie quarterback, even though a lot of talent, could be a tough season in that division. Cincinnati is projected to win 10.5 games. Definitely think they can do that as long as quarterback Joe Burrow stays healthy. He's one of the more talented quarterbacks in the league. He's just a bit injury prone. He missed the second half of last season, Bengals miss the playoff, their backup Jake Browning, very capable. I'm surprised he didn't get signed by another team. He must still be under contract. Cleveland in the same division. They made the playoffs last year. They're projected at 8.5 wins, and that's because they still have question at quarterback. You know, they had to sign Joe Flacco off the beach last year to come in and help them get into the playoffs. But with Deshaun Watson missing a lot of time last year, and he has not been effective since signing that basically overpriced free agent deal a couple seasons ago, and didn't really look very promising last year. I think Cleveland takes a step back this year and maybe doesn't get that 8.5. Dallas Cowboys projected to win 10.5. They'll probably do that. When it comes to the playoffs, that's the Cowboys' big question. They don't seem to do as well in the postseason. They haven't even been to the NFC Championship since like 1996. Denver is interesting. They're going to be going with a rookie quarterback. It appears Bo Nix out of Oregon will more than likely be the starter. Sean Payton finally getting to work with his quarterback, if you will. Denver's projected to win 5.5 games. I think they go over that, if not by much. They might be good for 6 or 7 games this year. That might be one to maybe take a look at. Detroit making it to the NFC Championship last year and probably could have won that game if a few things went a little different. Maybe a couple decisions by Coach Dan Campbell, a little too aggressive, maybe cost them, but they did play against the 49ers, a good team, obviously. But the Lions had that game in hand and let the Niners come back into it. Detroit has a 10.5 win total this year. I think they'll probably get that. They're a good team. Although they won't be sneaking up on anybody as they sort of did last year, as they were a team that had turned things around. Green Bay, I don't know if they'll be sneaking up on teams this year. They're projected to win 9.5 games. Jordan Love finally proved that he was worth the selection that eventually edged out Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers almost beat the Niners again last year. Came to basically the 49ers defense shutting them down in the second half and winning that game. Green Bay projected at 9.5 wins. You know, with them and Detroit in the same division, that's going to be a pretty tough competition this season. One team that turned it around last year, maybe a little ahead of schedule, the Houston Texans. They made the playoffs. Rookie coach, rookie quarterback. They're projected at 9.5 wins. I think they do that, maybe go over. They also picked up Stephon Diggs in a trade with Buffalo, and they also signed a free agent running back that I just can't remember at this moment. But Houston's made improvements, made the playoffs last year, and I definitely see them staying strong because they're in a division with the next two teams, Indianapolis and Jacksonville, who are both projected at 8.5 wins. I think Jacksonville gets that, maybe goes past Indianapolis. And we'll see how quarterback Anthony Richardson does this year if he doesn't get injured. He was injured last year. And their backup, Gardner Minshew III, is now with the Raiders, either as a backup or he's in the competition to win a starting job. The two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, 11.5 wins. That's a pretty high total. I definitely see them at or around that number. They might not go over that, though. I think the AFC West has improved slightly, and there's a good chance the Raiders, Chargers, or Broncos maybe win a game or two and still see the Chiefs get into the playoffs and going far in the playoffs if everything kind of goes as planned. But 11.5, that's a high number for the Chiefs. I don't know if I'm too confident in that, but that's about right, 11 to 12 games. The Las Vegas Raiders and LA Chargers are both projected to win 6.5 games. Think both of these teams will improve. The Raiders with a quarterback question, either the guy Aiden O'Connell, who played pretty well last year, went 5-4 down the stretch when coach Antonio Pierce named him the starter and took over. They were the last team to defeat Kansas City on Christmas Day. I think the Raiders go over the 6.5 total, as do the LA Chargers with coach Jim Harbaugh. This guy's had great results, positive winning results everywhere he's been. You know, he turned the Niners around from a 3-win team into a team that went to the NFC Championship. He won a national championship at Michigan. And colorful as he is, he's been living in an RV in Huntington Beach, California, next to his assistant coach, who also has an RV in Huntington Beach, California. The Chargers, I think, with Jim Harbaugh's just attention to detail and coaching in general should go over the total of 6.5 wins. The other LA team, the Rams, are projected to win 8.5 games. I think they go over this. They won 10 last year, and they weren't expected to do so. But they had a couple good picks in last year's draft, and all signs look like they should be at or near that same level. They just have the 49ers in their division, so that could be a couple losses. Seattle's kind of an up-and-down team, but I think the Rams can win 8.5 games. Miami is also projected at 8.5 wins. Their offense, it shows up, is going to score points, is going to get them a lot of wins. Miami's question is when it gets cold, and they have to play in some of the cold weather cities, specifically Buffalo and New York, and how they do when they're not playing in Miami. Last year, the wind chill factor and the negative 40 degrees or whatever it was in Kansas City, this certainly made a miserable day for the Dolphins when they got to the playoffs. The Minnesota Vikings are projected at 7.5 wins. Sam Darnold is their new starting quarterback. They re-signed or extended Josh Jefferson at wide receiver, and it looks like Sam Darnold will be the starting quarterback. He's bounced around, drafted by the Jets a couple years ago. Cup of coffee in Carolina, was the backup in San Francisco last year. And he was a high draft pick coming out of USC. He's been in the league a little while, learned some things, and might be an opportunity for him in Minnesota. Their projected total, 7.5. I don't think Minnesota will have a problem getting over that. The only problem is the rest of the division looks very strong and has improved quite a bit. That's with Detroit, Green Bay, and Chicago, who could be quite a bit better this year as well. The New England Patriots, they were near the bottom of the league last year. New coach Jared Mayo, the first year without coach Bill Belichick, they're projected at 4.5 wins. I think they can come close to that and maybe beat that. That's a pretty low number, but again, they have a lot of question marks, and we'll just see how this new era for the Patriots begins and goes throughout the season. The New Orleans Saints have a 7.5 projected win total. They were a little bit above that last year. And they've added a couple of players on defense. Chase Young, former Washington defender, and spent last year with the 49ers. He signed in the offseason. Their coach, Dennis Allen, is a very good defensive coach. Offensively, they have some weapons, and Derek Carr solidifying the quarterback position. But they're still in a bit of a up-and-down division. I think they can come in at 7.5 wins and maybe go over that. If you have HBO or HBO Max, you can check out what's going on in the preseason with the New York Giants. I think episode 1 dropped the other day. I started to watch it last night and I fell asleep. And that's not the quality of the show. I just turned it on pretty late after July 4th festivities. And the Giants are projected at about 6.5 wins. That's probably about right. I think they come in a little bit under that. They have a lot of questions, mainly running back Saquon Barkley, now an Eagle, no longer a Giant. And then Daniel Jones, not exactly the best quarterback in the league, but he's their guy. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Jets are projected at 9.5 wins. Yeah, they played great last year, considering Aaron Rodgers blew his Achilles out in like the first series, play number 4. And they had no real backup plan. Coach Robert Saleh, really had that defense and the rest of the team buying in and playing good. It's really all about how Aaron Rodgers performs. If he, at 40 or maybe 41 years old, can stay healthy and play as he has in the past at league MVP level, the Jets might get close to that 9-10 win level. Personally, not everybody's Tom Brady or LeBron James and can play well into their 40s. We'll see how Aaron Rodgers does. I think the Jets maybe don't make that total. I'm just not sure if Rodgers is going to be able to play the full season. But they do have a backup in place. Tyrod Taylor, who's been around the league a little bit and is certainly an upgrade from their backup last year. Got about 8 more teams to go in about 3 minutes, so Philadelphia is projected to win 10.5 games. I think they can do that. They do have a couple questions. They picked up Saquon Barkley from the Giants, but their center, Jason Kelce, not as famous as his brother Travis, did retire. And that guy's been an anchor to the Eagles' offensive line, and especially when they do the quarterback sneak with Jalen Hurts, which is basically, you know, been a pretty much automatic play, and Jason Kelce made that happen. Pittsburgh's projected at 8.5 wins. I got to think they'll go over this total. Coach Mike Tomlin always gets the most out of his players. Russell Wilson and a fresh new start could go well. If he doesn't do well, Justin Fields is right behind him coming in from Chicago. So Pittsburgh made an upgrade at quarterback. Just a matter of seeing who's going to be most effective. San Francisco, like Kansas City, projected to win 11.5 games. I think that's about right. You know, that's a lot of wins, but I see 49ers doing about 12 wins as they did last year. So it'll be late in the season until they reach that total, but I definitely think they're capable and probable of doing that. The Seattle Seahawks, they got a whole new coach, a whole new regime going on. That could be good or bad. I think they'll take a step slightly back, as I think the Rams and 49ers have a lot more going currently in that division. Seattle at 7.5 projected wins. That's probably about right. They should win 7 or 8 games. Tampa Bay snuck into the playoffs last year. Baker Mayfield has re-signed, finally has a home. They're projected at 7.5 wins. I think they probably win 8 or 9 games in Tampa Bay, and it's probably going to be them in Atlanta fighting for the division championship. The Tennessee Titans are projected at 6.5 wins. I think they come in under that. This is a team that really has lost a lot of key players in the last couple years and hasn't filled or replaced those positions. I think they definitely do a little worse than 6.5. And firing coach Mike Vrabel didn't really replace him with any big name, and are probably going to struggle to win the 6 games. Although in their division, it's certainly a possibility. And the Washington Commanders, the Washington football team, they got the number 2 pick in the draft. Jaden Daniels, very talented player. They're projected to win 6.5. I think they definitely go over this. I think there'll be some struggles with the rookie quarterback, new coach Dan Quinn. But, you know, they got the Giants in their division. I think Washington is better than the Giants. They could probably sneak in a win against Philly or the Cowboys. And, you know, I think in the second half of the season, they might surprise some teams with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. So that is going to wrap up Fantasy Sports Friday. We had a lot to get to today, and we got to everything on the list just in time. If you missed any of the show, you can go to the podcast on-demand link, listen again on Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time, or on demand. We'll be back next Friday, and we'll continue looking at the upcoming NFL season and getting ready for the August fantasy football drafts. Signing off, Jay Cruz, HealthyLife.net Radio.